Good evening, everyone. My name is Carla Wynn
Hall. Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, one more time, Blog Talk Radio. My name is Carla Wynn Hall, and today on Women of Wisdom, best-selling author Wynn Kelly Charles welcomes Cheryl Wallowick, the Income Acceleration Coach. Cheryl wants you to know that there's never been a better time to grow a lucrative business as an entrepreneur. You can visit her website at expertelevation.com to find out more about business coaching, entrepreneur training, and products Cheryl and her team have available to you. So without further delay, here is your host for the evening, Wynn Kelly Charles.
Thank you, and I'm blessed and honored enough to have Cheryl all the way from Canada. And the reason why I know that fact is because as we were setting up this interview, Cheryl actually approached me about being on her show and her show's phenomenal. And we're going to talk about a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about her journey and how she manifests this amazing journey. So that leads me to my first question, and my first question for Cheryl is, what made you decide to become a solo entrepreneur?
Well, I had been a partner in a large management consultancy firm in Canada and been working at it for a number of years, making a very good income, but there was something that felt a little bit dissatisfying or missing from it. When I was working with big corporations and government agencies, helping them with their, you know, strategic plans and change management plans, you know, I felt a bit removed from it. And it's hard to steer big corporations and get them on all on board. And there was one particular weekend where I went to pick up my kids at school, and I walked through the door. My little girl Katie's just sobbing, and she's all upset. And I said to her, "What's wrong, honey?" And she goes, "Mom, you know, we lost Max, the school guinea pig." And I give her a hug, and I know that this is distressing in her first experience with death. And I said, "Honey, it'll be okay." And she goes, "No, it won't, Mom, because Carly, her best friend's mom, died." And I'm like, "Whoa, this is going to be a lot different conversation." And as I gathered up my son and Katie, and we went to the house to pay our respects and things too, by the time I got home for dinner, the phone rang, and it's the emergency, and my aunt's got a stroke and not sure if she's going to make it. We just get through the weekend, my aunt seems to be stabilizing and going to be okay, and we get another phone call from the emergency, and my uncle has had a massive heart attack and he's in surgery, and we don't know if he'll make it. And the point is, I had some dissatisfaction and wondering, am I really following my purpose and passion in life? Then I had this crazy set of events for 4 days, and I'm like, man, this is a wake-up call that life is short. Are you doing what you're really meant to do?
Yeah.
Are you making your difference in life?
Are you doing what you're really meant to do? And so how, and this is the tip of the week, how did you transition from a corporate job of a nice income to a solo entrepreneur?
Well, good question. I had been playing around with the idea of starting my own business for some time. So I had already, determined that I wanted to leverage off my experience and expertise that I already had. So my first foray into it was really just to take something I'd been doing for years and years and my expertise as a coach and trainer and consultant and open a business doing what I was already doing, but I was doing it for another company and corporation. And I didn't just, Monday morning jump in without planning. I had saved up some capital to invest. I had gotten my plans and done my market analysis and, you know, even lined up some potential clients. So I was well prepared to make the transition.
And this leads me to my next question. When you approached your boss at your previous 9-to-5 job, let's say, How did your boss take it?
Well, they wanted to keep me, first of all, because, you know, obviously I was, doing well, high producing, and a valued team member with them. But, I just was so clear on the path that I wanted to take, and I left in a way that I didn't burn any bridges, and I could even come back if I wanted to, because that was really important to me. But I just, I just explained that this is where my heart and my head was taking me, and it was just something I had to do.
And, okay, people always say to me, how do you do it with a disability? How do you do all this jazz with a disability / hold a part-time teaching job / hold an associate's degree? And so how would you recommend that people leave the corporate job without burning any bridges and follow their dreams?
Well, I think that they have to have a plan. I never encourage people who want to be entrepreneurs just to blindly take a leap of faith. There's a smart way to go about doing it, and there's just throw caution to the wind, close your eyes, and hope and pray for the best. I don't believe I believe in taking a planned and practical approach to it, too. I think that you should do some thinking about the market you're going into. I think it should be around your unique genius, where your gifts are, your skills and expertise. Ideally, it should be an industry that you know something about and know how money is made in those industries, how you attract clients. I think you should give some thought to who your clients are going to be, and just getting clear on that whole target market, who your ideal client is, where they hang out, and how you can reach them, and have a marketing plan. Because if you start your business and you can't generate revenue in your business, you're going to pretty soon run out of money and have to go back to that job and have a false start. It's much harder to do it again when you've had a failed attempt for all kinds of reasons.
I watched Business Contact. I worked with her as a sole entrepreneur. All of a sudden, she says, because I tried to reach out to her and get her on the Women of Wisdom, and all of a sudden, she says to me, by the way, I had quit my job and quit my passion job and go back to a 9-to-5 job. And so I'm like, okay, you were doing so well at it. So I agree with you that people need to come up with a plan of attack to do this. And people don't. And if let's say, if a person gets fired from a day job, do you recommend they go home and come up with a plan of attack to now follow their passion, or how would you recommend if they lose their job, how would you recommend they follow their passion and open up their company?
That's an interesting question. It's kind of like they're an accidental entrepreneur in that case because they didn't plan for it. And so, there's two perspectives on this. One, just because they got fired and they got tossed out on the street doesn't mean they're well prepared and ready to be an entrepreneur. In fact, if they jump into that saying, well, I got no other choice, I might as well open my own business and not have a salary and spend a bunch of money trying to get this up and running, they might end up in bigger financial peril than if they just picked themselves back up from the, you know, being fired and got a new job so they could plan properly. Now, that said, there's all kinds of stories of people that happens to, they get fired or they get laid off, you know, they haven't got let go because of something that they've done, maybe just a company's downsized, we've just been, you know, through a real downturn that we've come out of, and a lot of people have lost their job, and in some cases, it's opened up a beautiful opportunity that they've thought for a long time they wanted to do something different, but they were holding themselves back, and now they're not held back. And for those people, maybe it's the perfect thing that happened in hindsight, and they should go for it and be an entrepreneur. But I think it's not a blanket answer or absolute. It depends on how much they've thought about it, how well prepared they are, how much reserve income they have, how well and good they're at, you know, going to be at doing what they're going to do in their own business.
I definitely agree. So entrepreneurship is not for the weak and hard. And for those of you who listen to my podcast, either in iTunes or on Blog Talk Radio, in my book, I Win, which a lot of people don't know, even though it's public knowledge, I actually became an accidental entrepreneur myself because of events that happened in my life. And next week, I'm actually speaking at next Saturday, I'm actually speaking at a women's conference in North Carolina. And the funny thing is that I have 3 odds stacked against me. I am a woman, I am a disabled woman, and I am in the teaching field. So that leads me to my next question for Cheryl, is when, how do I ask this nicely? When people are in a job that isn't respected, a day job that isn't respected, what do you say to people?
So what do you mean a day job that's not respected, just so I understand your question?
Just, well, let me back up here. A day job that isn't respected, i.e. teachers, i.e. we give a lot, but yet we don't get the support we need. I've been called the babysitter. Through all that, I've been called, and yet we don't get the support or the respect we need, and that drives me nuts. So what do you say to those teachers out there who are in a day job that don't get respected, and they want to start a company? They do, you say that they go with their background, or do you say pick something completely new?
Well, a couple of things. I don't think you should go start your own business because you feel disrespected in your day job. That's a lousy reason. I think you go into entrepreneurship because you have a burning desire to have your own business, to have the autonomy, to make the difference in the world that you can make owning your own business. But there's a lot of ways to make your difference in the world and have a positive impact and make lives better and be employed. So, you know, and the other thing is being respected. I was a teacher. I was a high school teacher. And I, you know, people may have different opinions of, you know, whether they respect teachers or not. I never even gave that much thought or care. I showed up every day doing the best job I could. And whether I own my own business or I'm an employee of somebody, I would always do that because respect is earned. And if you show up every day giving your best, making a difference, you'll be respected. You know, whether there's different professions that aren't as risk-averse as others. Well, if you live your life driven by other people's perceptions and perspective, then you're always going to feel some level of dissatisfaction because I don't run my life or make my decisions based on other people's perceptions or how much they respect me. I have to respect myself. I have to feel like I'm making a difference, and I'll go and do that. So don't become an entrepreneur because you feel you're not being respected in a paid job. Become an entrepreneur because that's where you want to make a living and that's where you want to make your difference in the world.
So become an entrepreneur because it's your passion. Basically, that's
yeah, and it's also your calling. Because I see a lot of broke entrepreneurs that are passionate about what they do, and they don't know the first thing about running a business. And it breaks my heart because there's tens of thousands of people out in the world that say, "Hey, I have a great idea. I have a passion. I've always wanted to do this. I'm going to start a business." And many of them are ill prepared. They haven't gotten basic business acumen, understanding of how to market and how to do sales, how to identify their market and get clear on their clients, and basic fundamentals. It's like, you know, hopping onto a basketball court and not knowing the rules of the game,
yes,
having no clue how to shoot or dribble or pass, and expecting that you're going to win a game. You're not.
Yeah.
You're going to fail, and the consequences can be bad. So be well prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like learning a new skill, and it's not like finding a bike, people. It's not like finding a bike. People think publishing a book is so easy, but it's not. It's not, especially when you do it the way I do it. And so what would you recommend for people that want to be a solo entrepreneur / author, and how would you recommend that people start that?
I would start with focus on the entrepreneurship part and less on the authorship part. There's some wealthy authors, but there's more broke authors than wealthy authors. So I think the book industry and making a living off of writing a book is pretty tough. So I that's the first caveat. But if you focus on being an entrepreneur, and then it's more about what marketing platforms, what things are you going to do in your business to raise your visibility and extend your reach that will positively impact your business and bring you more clients. Writing a book is certainly a way to do that. It gives you credibility and profile. It's nice when you can say, will share, I'm a best-selling author, and people will come up to me and say, oh, you're a best-selling author. I want to hear more about what you do. And so for sure it opens some doors for me, but I see people saying, I want to write a book because I want to make a lot of money. And I'm like, you realize most people who write a book, most people don't make very much, if anything, out of writing the book. And you do it at the right stage in your business to build credibility and profile. But it's not the first thing you should do when you're starting a business.
No. And I started my business in a completely different realm than I did the authoring the book and motivational speaking, God know. But I wanted to ask you that because so many people ask me all the time, how do you do it? And I wanted to get your perspective of should people automatically write a book or should they just build up their skills first and then write the book. You're saying they should build up their skills first and then add things to the building blocks of their skills. Am I correct?
You are, Wynn. There's way more important things that they could do that are going to bring clients in the door than writing a book. And when I talk with entrepreneurs and coach entrepreneurs in my expert elevation business, I really help them get clear on some fundamental things that they need to be able to do. They need to have a marketing plan. And one of the best ways to bring in new clients is to have direct contact, whether that's speaking to many people at once over webinars or teleseminars or on podcasts or from the stage, or it's going to networking groups and meeting people face-to-face, or it's going to online meetup groups. It's that direct contact. It's that know, like, and trust factor that is mostly influenced by direct contact with you and being able to have, share your expertise. I teach my clients and people who read my blogs and other magazines and my own podcast, etc., about education-based marketing, giving value, sharing information that helps solve problems for your prospects, that inform them and that they view as valuable before you ever ask for the sale. But what education-based marketing does is it helps people, gives them value, but it also positions your expertise. And then they come back and say, well, hey, if this is your free stuff, I found this really interesting, really valuable content. Tell me more about your paid products or services. So I really advocate, having a marketing plan that involves especially education-based marketing. And a book is just one channel in dozens and dozens of channels. And the channel that's right for you is the channel that reaches your ideal clients. Who are your ideal clients? Where do they hang out? And what mediums do they consume? If they don't read a book, then that's the wrong marketing channel. Maybe they like YouTube or podcasts,
Yeah, podcasts. I am quickly discovering podcasts are the best thing since sliced bread, because you can condense it into a half an hour. You can condense it into 5 minutes increments, and a lot of people don't have time to sit down and read an actual Kindle book or actual book, let alone sit down and watch a YouTube video. That's not something people are willing to do. So I agree with you that you need to build the building blocks and have so many marketing incomes, and it's so unique that you say that you're the first guest that said have the marketing incomes, the podcast plus the books and plus everything else. And so how would you recommend that people start this, start building their brand?
Well, that's a great question. One of the mistakes I see people make is then they go overboard the other way, and they say, I have to have all these marketing channels. I need a podcast. I need a digital magazine. I need to write a book. I need my free reports. I need this, and they run themselves ragged. And the point I'd like to make is there's one or two or three right things for you to do, and it goes back to knowing who your potential clients are, where can you reach them, and knowing how to communicate with them. And what you should be communicating is, to communicate effectively, you have to understand what's their problems, what's their challenges, what's keeping them up at night, as well as what are their goals and aspirations. And you need to put content out into the world. I don't care if it's through video, podcasts, books, whatever. You need to put content out in the world, education-based marketing content, based on places you can reach your ideal clients and in formats that they'll consume and want to consume, so they can hear your expertise, get to know and like you because you're giving them value in your free content, your free information. They get to know you and say, hey, that's a person who gets me, understands my problems, and I think they have some potential solutions, and they start to pursue you. It's about client attraction and your ideal clients pursuing you, saying, hey, I want more. I want to maybe work with you and buy your products or services. And
exactly.
That's a much better way to convert clients.
Client attraction is better than posting on Facebook and getting that, because people are not on Facebook, and I leave it at that because I just look at this clock. You know, it's 4 minutes out, and I'm going to turn it back over to my partner in crime if she's still there, Colin Hall. But I appreciate the time, Cheryl, that you shared and your wisdom that you shared with all of us.
Well, thank you, Wynn. I appreciate you having me on your show, and I appreciate the open discussion about there's many platforms. And Facebook isn't a bad platform either. I don't advocate that. I think there's many things that can work, but pick a couple and get on that horse and ride it and, you know, start building your marketing platform out there.
Yep, I leave it at that. Pick a couple. Stick to it.
Thank you, Cheryl. I was actually cut off halfway between because I was on Skype and then a storm came and my modem reset, so I had to grab my husband's phone right quick. But that was very, very informative. And I'm just going to let you tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you, what, you know, what freebie do you have on your website, what is your blog about, and kind of just leave it at that, and then we'll end the line.
Awesome, thank you. Well, if people want a free 30-minute strategy session where I can help you really pinpoint some of the best marketing strategies you could use in your business, and even, you know, how to target and get more clients, they can email me directly at Cheryl, Sheryl, at expertelevation.com. And if you also go to my website at expertelevation.com, I have an income acceleration blueprint that you can sign up for on my homepage. Just opt in, and it's a 40-page blueprint on how to do client attraction and conversion to bring way more income into your business.
Wow, fantastic. I'm going to go do that right now.
Okay, awesome.
I need it because I was just waiting for you to tell me what to do.
Yeah, and there's also great free information on our blogs, our free digital magazine, Expertpreneur TV, a bunch of stuff. But in and get that blueprint because it can make you a lot of money.
You bet. I sure will. Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you, Wynn. And until next time, I'm Carla Wynn. Bye.
Thank you.